number.
Yeah.
I have no name.
Right.
And there is no me as a real person. Because a workman came to fix something that hadn't been fixed for the previous 7 years, but they came on the day when we were going to start this blog, we were forced from my comfortable living room to my less comfortable office to my actual walk-in closet.
And you can hear now, you can hear them pounding floors above us.
You can hear them pounding in the distance, but I expect the audience at a certain point to confuse that to the rhythm of their own heart. Please, if you've had any heart problems, and I have had, don't think you're having another heart attack. Ask yourself, especially as you're driving, is there anything the matter with my left arm? And since the answer will be no, you're fine.
We are in your walk-in closet, which is hilarious to me. Part of my struggle in the last few years is that I'm always trying to get people to tell stories that they don't want to tell. Now, there's so much that we need to talk about, but I do want people to know a couple things about you, and I feel like one of your motivations for doing this is that you always say that you're dying. I mean, that's one of the things that you always say, you know, and it's gotten into my head. We got to do this. We got to do this because he's dying. What's your...
Well, all of us are dying. It's just that certain among us have had this rubbed into us by the physicians, and they're right to do so. Nothing I say is to make you more paranoid, less optimistic, to give you less hope. And I just want to say this because it rubs my mind raw. The citizens believe that they are either left or right, but I know they are neither left nor right. However, when someone from the left or from the right says something which is true, first of all, I take a very large magic marker and I write it across my soul. At what I imagine to be around your age now, I got cancer. And, you know, I liked it so much, and I had such a good time with it, and I got so much emotional and psychological mileage out of it that a year later I said, no, I can't be rid of it. I have to have it again. But I did have fun with cancer, so I had it the second time. The first time they gave me radiation, which hardened my arteries, and then the second time, the really fun time, I had chemo. And chemo is exactly like what is going on in Iraq now. Your body is the insurgency, and the special forces are sent in by the doctors. But after that, because of the radiation and just general lack of exercise due to being flat on your ass, I had my first and massive heart attack. That was not as much fun as the cancer because it was more debilitating. And then I had another heart attack. Then I had triple bypass. I had another heart attack after that. I had it in England. And I discovered, as I had never had occasion to think about it before, how far British medicine has fallen behind us. I was wildly in favor of national medical insurance and national health until I was dealt with by the National Healthcare Plan. I can tell you the story if you have the time.
Yeah.
So I'm walking down the street and I'm reaching for the door of Blockbuster Video and I faint dead away. And I don't faint. It's not as pleasant as faint. I'm gone. Now I'm on the sidewalk. So I wake up, sort of, and I'm on the sidewalk. And of course, I don't think I'm on the sidewalk. I think I'm in my bed. And I think I'm having a dream. And there is this woman who's quite like my grandmother hovering above me. But she is not speaking as my grandmother would have spoken. She's speaking all in French and very excitedly. And then it dawns
on me. You're in England, but she's speaking French.
Yes, because we're in England. Nobody in London speaks English. They're all from every corner of the world. And she's a part of a French family, and they're now all hovered around me. I just didn't notice her because she was directly in my narrowed, you know, vision. And she's speaking French, and I'm pointing at that stupid bracelet I used to wear, which I don't wear anymore because it's pointless, that says, you know, heart attack or, you know. But it meant nothing to her. And, of course, it's written in English. That big help. And these international symbols are not international, just as the United Nations is not the United Nations. Nothing is what it seems, and you deal with the wrongness of something by its label. Friends who were in the advertising game pointed this out to me 30 years ago, that when the hinge falls off the child's lunch pail, in the ad you say, sturdy hinge.
This is a huge theme in talking to you, is that things aren't what they seem, and that the line that you've said to me over and over again is that in a time of war, mm-hmm. I always try and do your impersonation, in a time of war, up is down, right is left, your friends are your enemies, and your enemies are your friends, and you go, in World War II,
right.
The head of German secret intelligence,
right.
I keep going,
yeah,
was a British agent.
Right.
I'll say it again.
Right.
In world, go ahead.
His name is Admiral Canaris, and funny thing, he didn't care for Herr Hitler. He didn't think he was the best possible person to be running the German government. And I wasn't there. This all happened before I was born, so I'm guessing that's what history is, a guess. Napoleon said it was a lie agreed upon, and that's sort of true. But it's more often a guess that is asserted loudly. A friend of mine wrote me a letter, a fundraising letter, a letter for me to send him money. We were both broke all our lives, so, you know, this worked. And he said, and this is the reason I sent him money. He said, experience is not the best teacher, but it is the most insistent. It has the loudest voice.
I personally forgot what we're talking about, so I want to get back to something else,
right.
Which is that I want to get into, well, what you did for a living when you were working. You're retired now. And try and give me an overview.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm retired now. I'm saying I'm just too sick to do anything.
Right.
But it's very important that our listeners know I am a total fraud. And I did practically nothing my whole life except hold on to life by my fingernails. It is very interesting that we're doing our first broadcast from this walk-in closet. It is not a huge walk-in closet.
No, it's pretty tight.
You couldn't put on the ice capades here. It is just barely big enough for two people to get two chairs in here. But since we're in a closet, I'm going to say what I've never said before. I have always been a trans affluent. That is a rich man trapped in the body of a poor one. But because I know how important social class is to other people, I have always pretended all my life to have dough. And when I got very, very sick, this act saved my life.
So you weren't born into a wealthy family.
I was not born into a wealthy family. However, it got poorer.
But you have studied the ways of the rich.
Well, I mean, I never have ever used this term before, but I'm going to use it for the sake of simplicity. I gave people my stupid political advice. Others would have called me...
Oh, now you're talking about your career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Others would have called me a political consultant, but I never use the term because I predate the term. But in any event, I was in several political campaigns before I really can say. And the first one that I remember, he was already elected as I worked for Lindsay, and I'll tell you why. I was home, and I got an envelope from the mayor of the city of New York. And I opened it, and there was my library card. And there was a little note that said, I found this on one of my walking tours in Central Park. please try to be more careful with your library card in the future, John Lindsay. And that was a little note from John Lindsay to me. I don't know how old I was, 12. He wasn't trying to recruit me as a volunteer, or he wouldn't have said, be more careful right. with your library card in the future. He would have said, since I have returned your library card, wouldn't you like to return the favor by passing out literature for me for free for the next couple of years? Which I might have said, yeah, sure.
Well, but do you think, we'll pause at this point in your history, do you think that every kind gesture in humanity is in its essence a political act?
Oh, sure it is. Of course it is. When I'll give you what I think is a great story. There was one of a series of bullshit racial incidences in New York. One could not date that. I mean, that just that describes a long era. But at a certain point, the citizens get to recognize this as something that exists within press world. There's our world, and there's press world, which is a tiny subset of our world. So
press world meaning the newspapers, the press.
Yeah, the world, the nonsense world created by the press, the bullshit world of the press, which they don't take seriously, and we are not to take seriously. Unfortunately, many of us do take seriously. We really believe it.
Right, so there's this bullshit racial.
There was some bullshit racial incident. Now, I'm on the subway. I don't remember what the line or what it was, but I was on the subway, and this kid came by. He was 15 years younger than me, a black kid, and didn't know New York. I don't know where he was from. I didn't place his accent or anything, but he asked directions, and I simply didn't know. And so I went to the motorman, who was like, you know, three cars away. I found out. I came back, and I told him where he needed to go, and he was amazed, just amazed, that this total stranger would take the trouble to go up to the motorman, come back, and tell him. He thought I might know, and I might tell him off the top of my head, but I certainly wouldn't go and find out. Anyway, so we got off at the same stop, which was 14th Street. And 14th Street, there is a long, long walk to the gate. And because he was quite a bit younger, he got there first. But he didn't hold it for 5 seconds. He had to hold it for over 1 minute till I hobbled over to where he was holding the gate. The both of us were, without any preconceived notion, telling the other, we are not part of the racial horseshit that is being written about in the newspapers. We were notifying one another, we are not the assholes. But that's the sort of thing that the citizens do every day to subtly say, we're not part of the horseshit.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Cold Bath. Be sure and listen to the next one when the cold bath gets a little hotter.
I only care who I want to fuck, not who you want to fuck. I don't care.